Sentinel Online. Now loading All Things Transformers.
Be sure to check out All Things Transformers with Steve Megatron and TFG1 Mike.
You're listening to All Things Transformers, Episode 51, recorded Tuesday, September 28th, 2010.
This is Optimus Prime, and you're listening to All Things Transformers with Steve Megatron and TFG1 Mike. Transform and roll out!
Hello and welcome to episode 51 of All Things Transformers. I am TFG1 Mike, and joining me as usual is Steve Megatron. Hello.
Good day.
And the hater of beast machines, we have Optobotomus with us.
Hi. Way to throw me under the bus there before I can even say hello to anybody. So
hey, I didn't start the bus. I just threw you under there. You're not ran over yet.
Okay, all right. I'm banging
with Mike over on a nightly. I run Mike over on a nightly basis.
When you're not fucking Barney Megatron.
Whoa. Wow.
I have no comment.
Nah, I got.
I'll have to send Paul that clip so he knows what we're talking about.
Well, I don't know
if somehow Michael Wilson got us into that.
Yeah, it's all Michael Wilson's fault.
Oh.
So.
Somehow it jumped from Snowstalker to Barney and Megatron because Snowstalker and Tigertron. So.
Oh, yeah, that's
right. You can kind of guess where it went from there.
Wow.
Nice. So this is episode 51 of ATTF. This will be the episode that we release right before Steve goes on vacation.
In that case, Steve, I hope you had a very good vacation.
Nope.
You know, for when
yes.
future versions of ourselves listen to this.
Yes, I'm sure I will.
But it's not a future version because we're releasing the episode before he leaves on vacation.
Oh,
yes, but this is the past, and soon it will be the future.
Exactly. Don't confuse us with your linear time screw up stuff, Mike.
I have the DeLorean, and I know how to use it.
We know exactly what we're talking about. Don't screw our heads up, sir.
It's too late for that. You're already screwed up anyway.
I know, but since we're in the past, we don't want to screw up the future. Everything that we do now could screw things up. So,
where's the Gray's Sports Almanac when you really need it? Okay, so Transformers here. Paul Optobotomus has co-hosted with me on ToyCast since episode 66, actually, and we're bringing what?
What?
I don't know. I heard an echo or something, and I thought somebody was trying to say something. Anyway,
farted.
We're
yes. Sorry.
Just don't blame the cats.
No, she's up sleeping right now, so I'm safe. I'm not going to be a cat.
So we decided to bring out the bottom of us on this episode of ATTF because there's been a bunch of news that got released today, Monday, September. September 28th. September 28th. No, hell. I don't know.
Okay. He can't figure out. He's not going to be able to figure out the day if he can't figure out what month it is.
Shut up.
October? What?
So
it's that new month that's between September and October.
Yeah.
So
it's like a leap month.
Back on the 25th, apparently S250 from the TFW boards has posted a potential rumor, which. According to some people, all of his rumors are eventually come true, that we could be getting a Cup in the Generations line.
So that just proves that he jumped a space bridge and discovered in the future and then jumped the space bridge back.
He apparently has a DeLorean.
Yes.
Does it travel time?
He might. He's like Asian or something, right? They have everything over there.
Yeah, that's true.
So they might have time travel. Yeah. Who knows?
Apparently on his Twitter page, he recently posted, rumors said green car being developed in Generation Series. Cup, is that you?
So he posted a twat about, or twit, whatever they are. I use Twitter, and I don't even know what it's called.
Oh, God. It's called a tweet, you twatter.
It's a tweet. Okay. So he tweeted.
Yes, unfortunately, you just said something bad, so.
You're going to have to bleep that out.
Oh, hell. We're explicit on this show. We don't bleep anything out. That's okay. Too much work.
All right. Screw it. So he twatted about kind of green car. And before we started this whole crazy menage a trois thing that we have going on right now, I mentioned the fact that, and I'm bringing this up just because I want to rub it in your face, that, you know, there's been other green cars in the history of Transformers, one of which being, I know, your favorite, Mike, and that's Springer. So, Cup.
Yeah, no.
Cup is teal. He's like a slate.
Yeah, I agree. It's a tealish. Tealish. So I don't particularly put a lot of I mean, I believe that there's some kind of green car that's in development, but you know, his name dropping of Cup, I don't know.
Springer 2.0.
I'd be surprised if they didn't eventually make a Cup. I mean, when was the last time that we've had a Cup figure?
1986.
Well, no, they never, because everybody was always talking about how a repainted animated Cybertron mode Prime would be a good Cup, and I've seen customs of that, and I guess that's possible, but I don't know, but yeah. I mean, it's been quite a while since we've had a Cup figure. It would be nice to get one in a Generations motif, I suppose.
Yeah. I agree, but I don't know. I don't know. So far, I'm not too thrilled with Generations.
What?
Well, I like the War for Cybertron stuff, but...
I said what?
Shut up. Freaking Californian. Yeah,
what's wrong with the Generations line? I mean...
I don't know. It's just... It's one of those things where they're releasing... Outside of WFC stuff, they're releasing Cars and Seekers, which is all fine and well and good, but I don't have any interest in Drift. I do like Blur. Blur looks awesome, so I'll probably get him.
Okay.
Red Alert... There's no way in hell that I would get that toy.
I got them today, and I love them.
Did the hood fall off?
No, I mean, this is actually probably, you know, Spada had problems with his. This is the best design, I don't want to say best design, but I mean, it's the tightest of all of this mold. I mean, it's like they went back in time. And we're able to make this the very first one. I don't have any mold degradation with my figure.
Yeah, that's cool. I don't know. It's just, it's one of those things that for me, for Transformers, it has to be a character that I absolutely want in my collection. And Drift and Red Alert really aren't doing it for me. You know, Cup maybe. But again, I would have to see, you know, obviously...
If they release a Cup, you have to get Cup. I mean, you can't have, you know, I love Lamp. That's I'm sorry, that just, for some reason, saying Cup a million different times, just, I don't know, Squirrel. You got to have Cup. You have Hot Rod. You have to have Cup with them. You have to.
I don't know.
You got to have Cup. You got to have Springer.
Oh, hell no.
Oh, well.
Oh, hell no. There's no way in hell. First of all, at least out of all the Springers that we've had, I would not even waste my money on the best one, which is the Fans Project Warbot. And that would end up, and that I would actually, unlike your unsuccessful attempts to boil Legend Starscream, that I would actually set on fire.
Yeah, that didn't work too well. But yeah, let's not talk about my shortcomings. Let's continue on.
Steve, what do you think of potential Cup?
Honestly, I don't think it's going to be Cup, but if it is, I'm hopeful that it will be a really good toy in likeness of his Transformer the Movie / Target Master self.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, somebody, I don't know who it was, but I was scrolling down the post, because underneath each of the news posts, it shows the forum posts that people have posted, and somebody said, well, what if it's a G2 car? And I don't think that they would do that in generate, because I don't know. I mean, Drift is a comic character, right?
Drift, yeah.
Yes.
And Red Alert, obviously, is G1. Blur is G1. Thrust and Dirge are G1. So outside of the War for Cybertron stuff, do you guys think that they would do a G2 car in the Generations line?
You say G2, be specific. What exactly do you mean?
Generation 2.
No, I know what Generation 2 is.
I think he's meaning like how they're doing Laser Prime.
Oh.
What I mean is, do you think that it could be a green car character from Generation 2?
Oh, he means like kind of the goofy paint colors and all that.
I don't see why they would do that.
I wouldn't think so.
I mean, they still have to appeal to people to want to buy them. I mean, unlike the Botcon G2 thing, which looks retarded.
The only one I would want out of that set, if I ever had any inclination to get the set, would be Breakdown, because he looks cool.
You would have to get me seriously stoned and or drunk to look at anything from that Botcon set and make me want to buy it. you got to take into consideration that these are going to get a mass retail, and I don't think they're going to make something completely ridiculously, hideously putrid colored and ugly, and I don't think they'll go that route.
Okay, that's fine.
I mean, we could be wrong. I mean, but yeah. I don't know. Yo mama.
So did you guys, I guess moving on here, our buddy Kevin, Optimus Solo, over at BehindTheVoiceActors.com, Kevin's my Tooncast co-host. They actually broke the news for the first 2 days of Hub programming is revealed. G1 is ready to roll. Did you guys watch the little video clip?
Yes.
I watched like half of it, then I got bored and kind of just started skipping through different spots.
It's a minute 33. How the hell can you get... Oh, wait. Yeah.
Because
yeah.
It jumps around through kid crap.
Yeah, well, exactly.
Yeah.
Like little kid crap.
I mean, I'm all for nostalgia and things of that nature, but when I'm sitting there seeing My Little Pony and Strawberry Shortcake, I'm like, fuck it. I don't want to watch anymore.
Yeah. For me, I will find some other way to see Prime. If I even want to see Transformers Prime, because I'm not going broke paying for digital cable just for one channel where I have the G1 DVDs. So I don't need to see G1 on TV. I'm glad it is coming back. And for those people who can actually, you know, afford digital cable and they can, you know, teach their kids and all that, but
not just going to be G1 though. I mean, from what I understand, they're going to be showing Beast Wars too.
I have Beast Wars DVDs. I have them all, so I don't need to watch it on TV. I mean, this is just me personally. I'm glad it's on TV. I'm not saying that I'm not glad that it isn't on TV. But for me personally, I'm already spending close to $100 for two cable services. I'm not spending over that for three services just to get one channel.
$100? What kind of cable do you have where you're paying $100? For what? And you only have basic cable?
I have Kentucky. Basic. I have channels 2 through 99, and I have cable broadband internet service.
I have basic cable, like between 2 through 99. So chances are, one of those channels will be converted to the hub.
Well, do you have the Discovery Network or Discovery? What is it called?
Yeah.
Discovery. Kids? Yeah. Well, then that's what it's supposed to be. It's going to be switching from that to the hub. Well, not the Discovery Channel, because there's a
The Kids Discovery.
Kids Discovery. Do you have that?
I believe so.
Oh, then yeah, you'll probably be fine.
Yeah.
I mean, and Mike, honestly, within a couple hours, it's going to be uploaded on YouTube.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and you'll be able to download it anyway.
Right, yeah, exactly. So it's, yeah, I don't blame you.
Yeah.
I mean, if I didn't have it, I probably wouldn't go out and, like you, spend extra money just to get one channel. Although there are, you know, many other channels that are out there.
I know that. But, I mean, just for the cable company that's here in Louisville, it just – their prices are weird. And
you guys barely just got color TV not too long ago, right?
Shut up, you asshole.
Sorry. Continue on.
Yeah. Yeah, that episode 83 of ToyCast, where the most powerful collectors in the universe will merge. You will so be on that with another certain person, just for that comment. I swear to God, I will make you do it.
You know, you make it sound as if I can't hang up the call or something.
There's this magical button that says goodbye.
Yeah, goodbye.
Sounds like AOL.
Yes.
I mean, I'm going to log in there and I'm going to, hey guys, this is Pixel Dan. And I'm going to be, boink, click, gone. Anyhow, continue. Sorry.
You were the weakest link. Let's, goodbye.
Yeah.
Squirrel.
So apparently, there's a Transformers Prime sneak peek coming soon. The days, huh?
I was gasping in sheer excitement.
Uh huh. The day is Sunday, 10-10-10, and the time is 4:30 p.m. Remember the hub sneak peek listed on the two-day schedule we saw earlier? Well, that sneak peek is for Transformers Prime and G.I. Joe Renegades. Transformers Prime is not seen on the first 2 days of programming, but hopefully we'll get a good look at it on Sunday, 10-10-2010 at 4:30 p.m. On listings, the preview show is named Hub Sneak Peek, G.I. Joe Renegades, and Transformers Prime. So they're gonna. So what are they gonna do with this? If these two cartoons are not actually premiering on Hub launch day, they're gonna give us a sneak peek of it and then what? Premiere it January of 2011?
Why would they wait that long?
Suspense.
Dun dun dun. Well, they did that with Transformers Animated, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. Unfortunately.
Yeah. I don't know. 10-10-10 is a Sunday. I don't think. I honestly don't think you would get a lot of good viewership on a Sunday.
Well, this is just for the sneak peek that they're going to show. But what I'm asking is, if it's not going to launch, if the shows aren't going to launch on that date, when would they launch them? Because I mean, the people at Hub have already said that Prime is not going to be on launch date or even launch week, I think. So the only other thing I can think of is to follow like the sweeps thing. Maybe they're going to wait till November, or they're going to be like Power Rangers and release it in February, because every February there used to be a new Power Rangers series.
Can't believe you used Power Rangers as a reference.
As sad as it is, it's pretty close and accurate.
Terrible.
Well, I mean, they keep remaking Transformers every couple of years, and then it's something new, and then it's something new, and it has nothing to do with the previous series.
That's true.
So, I mean, they keep reinventing it every few sagas. I think the last thing they had that was actually, you know, completely tied in with something was that stupid Armada Energon Cybertron mix, and then before that we had Beast Wars Beast Machines and Generation 1 that tied together, so.
That's true.
And then we've had filler in between, so I'm guessing that this will be another trilogy.
That's possible. Or, well, I mean, even Kurtzman and Orsi has said that this is – I don't want to necessarily say that it's set in the movieverse, but with those two people at the helm of this whole thing, and they were doing the first two live-action movies, I wouldn't be surprised if it's kind of tied in a little bit with that mythos.
I believe they stated they wanted Prime to go at least, you know, 5 seasons, which is generally what if a cartoon is successful, the minimum time frame for a cartoon's lifespan is 5 seasons, 5 years. So you're going to have,
I don't know, but I mean, Transformers Animated went for 3 seasons, and
yeah, but then Revenge of the Fucking Fallen came along and fucking killed it.
Sure. Anyhow, got a little hostile there for a second. I'm happy that they killed it when it did. There's too many times where things go for longer than it should, and I think it was rushed there towards the end, but I think it got its message across fairly well, and the story was told decently, I thought. I don't think it needed to go much longer. It was like, well, let's get a season 4 so we can get, you know, more characters, and we can see what the other character, like Rodimus, and, you know.
Hey, watch it.
I'm just saying. I mean, all those other characters that debuted that we only saw one time, whatever happened to Rodimus? He, you know, got the cosmic rust. Did he die? Oh, we need to have another episode. You know, that's just dragging it out then, I think. I don't think
it would have been dragging it out because, first of all, you know, they would have to pay Judd to come back. And I don't know if they, you know, that I think that's why Rodimus was only in 5 minutes of one episode.
Not necessarily. If they knew that they were going to extend the series longer, they probably wouldn't have even gotten Judd to do the voice in the first place.
Okay, so anyway, the main point is that because Revenge of the Fallen came out animated, they just stopped all promotion for animated whatsoever. Yes, we did get those last few toys, which I'm sure all the animated fans are grateful for those. But, I mean, as far as the cartoon goes, they just kind of cut its legs out from under it, I think. Because you still had a whole bunch of things that were not resolved at the end of that.
I don't think you can blame something like the movie coming out. If anything, that would have drove interest for the cartoon more. Because all these kids are going to be wanting to go see the movie, and then if you had a cartoon that was out there, they would have wanted to go see it. Now, granted, it didn't get advertised very well, but to this date, I watched every episode, seasons 1 through 2. I never saw a commercial for Transformers Animated.
I saw some, but not many. So, moving on, I guess.
Wasn't it?
We've got some more Hub World official launch, Transformers Prime character renders and games and more. And yeah, I'm not too excited for this show.
Well, I can't say that I'm like not excited just to see how it's going to go. However, I'm not like 100% enthusiastic, but I mean, because they are basically doing a movie mixed with animated.
Animated, yeah.
Because I mean, really, Bulkhead, that's animated. Prime, he's got the, you know, movie-verse look. Bumblebee's got the movie-verse look. Ratchet's got the animated-ish look. You know, I mean, and so on and so forth. They all are copying something similar. You know, I mean, Starscream, hell, his robot mode looks like animated pretty much. And then again, they're entering the trifecta of human kids. Armada, anyone?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's...
I guarantee you one of those human boys is going to be another fucking kicker.
No. I think the first one is the Jackson Darby. They're going to attempt to make more of a Spike. Miko, I have no fucking clue. unless they're trying to copy something similar to the new comics. And that Raphael, Raph, whatever the hell his name is, I think they're going to copy the kid that sat in the frickin' wheelchair.
Chip Chase,
yes. Yeah. Well, the Miku character could either be a copy of Sari, or she could be a version of Carly.
I would lean more towards Sari. but, I mean, it, just in general, the animation designs don't look that enthusiastic, you know, that great to me. I'm not that enthused, but I will give it a shot, considering it does have the voice talent of Walker and Cullen involved.
Yeah, I just wish that it would
shut it out.
Yeah, I just wish that we would actually see something other than Bumblebee jumping around and punching people.
That's all Bumblebee's good at.
That's true, too.
Yeah.
Let's do a flip, punch, jump. Okay, I'm done.
At least Bulkhead, I said this to Paul off air a few hours ago. I said, you know, at least Bulkhead has actual fucking hands.
Yeah, he looks halfway decent, too.
And if you look at the robot mode for Prime and Bumblebee, they're pretty much the same design, outside of Prime not having the wings like Bumblebee does or the doors in the back. But, I mean, if you look at their arms are exactly the same, except Prime's are a little less bulky.
I don't know. Bumblebee looks like he's got wheels in his shoulder. And Prime doesn't.
I'm not sure if I like Prime. Bulkhead I like. The design for Bumblebee. Yeah, they obviously couldn't get GM's schematic for that, so they had to create something very similar that they couldn't get in trouble for. Ratchet, I think, actually looks pretty damn good. A nice update to the original. Megatron... I see that they tried to more so, instead of get the movie-verse look, they tried to mix in more G1 into it.
And War for Cybertron.
Yes, which I do like that they did that, because Megatron is one of the fugliest robots in the Transformers movies. Soundwave, I could leave that. I could bury that in my backyard and forget about it. Just because it looks butt ugly. Starscream looks like some kind of a zombie stick figure. And the humans, are sad enough, are more detailed than half the Decepticons.
Yeah.
So I'm not that enthused with the designs already. In a way, I wish that... I know this won't happen anytime soon. I wish they'd go back to the Beast era.
Just need to drop that idea, Steve, because like you already said, there's no way that it's going to happen anytime soon.
No, but I can dream.
Yeah.
Very big dreams.
I'm just kind of confused because I'm looking at some of these and I'm seeing nice CGI renders of how they look, and then I look at like Bulkhead and he looks like a cartoon.
I would rather see him look like Bulkhead, honestly. Soundwave's a cartoon.
Yeah. And then, you know, like you look at Optimus Prime and you have a cartoon version of his truck and then you have a CGI version of his robot mode. I don't understand what kind of aesthetic they're actually trying to go for.
They're going for the weird kind.
Yeah. It's going to be a combination of both. And you're going to like it and can't do anything about it. We're going to shove it down your throat and you're going to take it.
And more than one way.
That's right.
Mike, say your famous phrase.
Wait, what famous phrase?
About raping your childhood.
Oh, yeah.
My childhood has been raped. Yeah.
Michael Bay continually rapes our childhoods, just like Starscream rapes giant metal bugs.
Oh, my God.
Michael Bay, Mega Childhood, me.
RC has a special bond with Optimus Prime. And it is his go-to girl. That's what it says on her profile.
Oh, God.
Is it really?
I am dead serious. On the Hub World website, that's what it says for her profile. Oh, yeah.
As the least flawed of the Autobots, she's the one they can always count on.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure that's what they count on her for. Oh, I'm sorry. I went a little too far.
Well, she doesn't have that many curves. She looks like she's fucking anorexic, so there's no porn there.
Well, she's the stick figure edition.
There's enough that you can make out of a motorcycle, for the love of Pete.
Oh, and Bumblebee's going to have a voice box damage, and he talks in bleeps and blurts.
Oh, that's going to be cute.
Yeah, it's going to be an asinine little tool.
Oof.
Oh, I could just... I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
I think I'm going to burn this show to the ground.
And the other thing about this show that I don't like is that they have fucking Ortsman and Kurtz Boy executive producing it. I don't like that whatsoever. Regardless of what leash Michael Bay held on them, I'm sorry. These guys have no iota of Transformers fiction, fiction behind them whatsoever.
That's not fair.
I don't care if it's not fair. They can't write Transformers fiction for shit.
I write better Transformers fiction, but that's besides the fact. That's being cocky. But I'll give it a shot. I'm not saying I'm going to like it, but I will at least give it 3 episodes. If I cannot stand it past the 3 episodes that I will be watching on YouTube, then I'll just take it or leave it, and then I'll basically give my final, you know, F you on this show.
It's one of those things where, you know, the whole thing when back in 07 or 06 when we first heard news of the first movie and heard these guys are going to write this, and you know, I'm not going to knock them on other...
They're writing it. They are not writing it.
No, I'm not talking about this. I'm talking about TF1.
Oh, okay.
Back in 2006, when it was first announced that they were going to be writing the movie.
Thank you.
Okay. outside of their other stuff that I've seen them do, or seen the other shows that they've written for, like Alias, and obviously 09 Star Trek, but when it was first announced, they're like, oh, we're, you know... Like, Alex was this huge Transformers fan, and he knows this, and he knows that, and he can really write a good script and everything else. Well, you're working for fucking Michael Bay. Michael Bay is going to have the last fucking word on anything that he does. So your script and your vision is going to get torn to shit.
Any script that anybody could come up with could be, you know, a fantastic script. But you have to be able to take that script and make it functional and real-world compatible. I remember people bitching and moaning because Megatron in the first Transformers movie didn't transform into a gun. Well, that's stupid. I mean...
Right. Okay, and I'm not gonna argue that point with you because I understand they have to make it realistic for the real world, and that's fine. But... Right. My main complaint with Kurtzy and Ortsman, or whatever the fuck their damn names are, is that, you know, they claim to be these big Transformers fans and can write all this good fiction.
How do you know they are?
And while the movie was, the first movie was okay, and yes, the writer's strike very much hindered the second movie, they barely had anything to do with the second movie, but they just didn't even step up to the plate on that. I don't know.
If you're going to bitch about anybody, you should probably bitch about that third guy, and I don't even remember what his name was.
Aaron something.
Yeah, the dude who's now in charge of the third Transformers movie. I mean, because Kurtzman and Orsi were gone, and it was Michael Bay and this other guy that locked themselves in a hotel room to try to get as much of it done as possible. And while I don't necessarily – I don't think Bay is one of the best directors in the world, he knows what he's doing in order to sell a movie. I mean, as much as we want to sit there and bitch and complain about Revenge of the Fallen not being a good movie, it still made a crap ton of money, which obviously means it appealed to certain people, not necessarily Transformer fans. And that's one thing that people, I think, really forget in this fandom, that these movies are not being made for us. They are being made for the entire world. My mom, who hates Transformers and hated buying them for me as a kid, loved the movies.
I liked them when I first saw them, but after subsequent viewings, I like them less and less.
Well, I mean, these aren't movies that are of epic proportion that are going to stand the test of time and get better and better every time you see them, like Forrest Gump or something. But they performed their function adequately. They made a shit ton of money, and they sold a shit ton of product and made a shit ton of money for everybody involved. I mean, hell, I think, wasn't it? I can't remember the exact number, but I want to say something along the lines of that Michael Bay gets 5% of all Transformer toy sales from the movie. I mean, there's a lot of money running around out there.
And I'm sure there is. And Michael Bay, on his own, outside of Transformers, I like several of his films. But he, you know, Steve told me a while ago, and I agree with this, and I think we've said this on this show before, Michael Bay shouldn't have been given Transformers. Michael Bay should have been given G.I. Joe and had somebody else do Transformers.
He could have done the first film, and that's it. They should have gave the reins over to somebody else, because then he would be setting the bar.
Right.
But who do you get? I mean, Michael Bay is fairly successful when it comes to big-budget movies.
But the problem is Michael Bay sucks on the military's dick. And the Transformers, you know, I understand putting it into real life and all that stuff because it's a real – it's a movie and it's not a cartoon and all that. But the Transformers really – it just – I don't know.
I mean, I understand what you're saying, and I agree with you, and it's always one of those things where he tries to cater to the military. I just get so frustrated with people who want to complain and bitch about the movies and how everybody hates the movie-verse, and I'm like, why? I don't understand why you can't just accept what it is, accept that it's in the real world – well, I mean, as real world as possible – and just accept it. I mean, there are still people that think that the Unicron trilogy was good.
Well, those people ought to be taken out back and shot.
No, I completely. I you know on a little
it
bit.
It just
of
depends
a,
on what you grew up with.
Well, I've been alive. I don't know how old either of you guys are.
Yes, you know how old I am. I'm 2 years younger than you.
Okay. Well. All right, there you go. I mean, I've grown up with every form of Transformers that's been in existence.
Right.
So it's – I'm looking – I see the entire spectrum. I see it all. I love G1, and I even said in my video there, Mike, that you saw that, you know, G1's not even my favorite.
Yeah.
In terms of storytelling or anything. I don't think – G1 did a terrible job telling stories.
Right.
But people – sit there and bash that as much as they're bashing the storytelling in Revenge of the Fallen. I'm like, huh? It makes no sense to me.
I just think, like Steve said, if you want to get the franchise going, fine. Bay did the first film. After that, regardless of the writer's strike, it should have been somebody else's vision to take over, because I don't like the way that Revenge of the Fallen went. And if Prime is any indication by the designs, and again, we haven't seen anything out, like I said a little while ago, we haven't seen anything other than Bumblebee transforming and flipping around and punching the screen. But
but reading all these bios, I mean, it sounds, I mean, Bumblebee is going to, he's going to be fucking R2-D2.
Oh, God. That's the other fucking thing. That pisses me off.
Yeah, I don't. That's kind of lazy, and I don't like the fact that when Bumblebee does talk, he's got a British accent. That I don't get that. It makes no sense to me. But I don't know. Perceptive British accents.
We covered on here. Oh God, a couple. I think it was an episode 50, last episode, that there was a news story on TFW about Dan Gilvezan. And Dan Gilvezan believes that Hasbro and everybody else, because Volkswagen wants nothing to do with Transformers, that he has just been completely forgotten as far as the voice of Bumblebee, because apparently the Bumblebee will always be the Camaro now, which I think is very friggin' sad. You know, you've got, especially Cartoonverse, Movieverse, fine, but you know, in a new cartoon, you're going to have the one of the major characters, because Bumblebee is a major character, and you're not going to have the guy's original friggin' voice actor come back and do lines. You can bring back you can bring back Cullen and Welker to voice their original roles in the cartoon, which hasn't been done in 26 years that they've worked together on a cartoon. You know, but you can't bring back the original voice of Bumblebee? That's fucked up.
Why do you have to, though?
It's not about having to. It's about not keeping the whole thing. Like, a cartoon Bumblebee needs to have a voice. Movieverse Bumblebee, if you want to just have him bleeping and making radio stations, fine. That's fine in the actual films. But a cartoon Bumblebee, as popular as Bumblebee is of a character, you need to give him a voice and not have him do the R2-D2 shit.
I would agree with that. I mean, I think he needs a voice, period. I don't think he needs to be anybody specific.
Well, what I'm saying is it would be nice if they would, you know, extend that to Gilvezan.
Sure, but I mean, that's only going to be a nod to us people that remember him from G1.
Works for me.
You ask a 13-year-old boy who likes Transformers, you ask him. I mean, I saw it when I posted my review for the new Unicron, I had people sitting there saying, why do you like him so much? He doesn't look anything like Unicron. I'm like, what are you talking about? And they're like, he doesn't look anything like Energon Unicron. I'm like, oh, there's your fucking problem right there. So, you know, the fact that Welker and Cullen are coming back and doing the voices, it's just a nod to us. That's all it really is. You don't need, I mean, I agree he needs to have a voice, but I don't think you need to make a stink about who it is. The guy who did the voice for Bumblebee in the War for Cybertron game would be fine.
Johnny Young Bosch. I would love to see that, but I mean, my main point about the whole Gilvezan thing is that I think it's very sad that Hasbro and whoever this new production company will be on TF Prime, that, you know, they're not paying the guy any respect of anything. Yes, it would just be a nod to us, but wouldn't you like to hear Gilvezan as Bumblebee again outside of G1?
It depends on how he sounds.
It sounds like he's always sounded. I mean, it's not, you know,
yeah,
I don't.
I mean, look at the reasoning that was given for why Frank Welker wasn't used for the movie version of Megatron. I mean, we don't know how he sounds. He might not necessarily have that same. It's kind of pointless to even discuss because they don't want him to have a voice. They want him to beep and, you know, fart all the time,
which is stupid.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I mean, Bumblebee has become a gigantic character, almost as big as Optimus Prime himself to a lot of these new fans that are coming in. And, you know, he was always kind of big back in the G1 days and everything, but he really wasn't all that major of a character to me.
If you look at, I don't think, Bumblebee wasn't in the Unicron trilogy, was he?
No.
Okay.
Shot pretty much filled that role.
Oh, God. Let's not go there. Fucking Hotshot. Jesus Christ. If you look at Bumblebee from G1 to animated to the movie,
right?
Almost on every... not really G1 DVD. If you look at DVDs from animated to... and then merchandising for the movie, the animated DVDs, almost every cover of the three animated DVDs that we do have, season one, season two, and then the Transform and Rollout film, it's got Bumblebee on the front cover for the most part. And the movie verse, you've got Transforming Bumblebee DVD cases from Target. You've got Bumblebee helmets. Bumblebee is everywhere. Really, honestly, for the movie verse, the two main biggest characters are Optimus and Bumblebee. There's Optimus and Bumblebee merchandise everywhere.
You know, kind of going back, and I just kind of thought about this because I was talking about this with my girlfriend, who is not a very huge Transformer fan, which is kind of ironic. But you were talking about how Michael Bay could have done the first movie and then, you know, left it for someone else. And I was going to mention this earlier when we were when it was more relevant, but I got distracted or something. But it's especially with, you know, I mean, you're talking about Bumblebee and everything. So my girlfriend was like, why is Sam so upset that Optimus Prime died? And I'm like, what do you mean? And she's like, well, because wasn't he more friends with Bumblebee in the first movie? And I'm like, yeah, that kind of makes sense. She's like, it doesn't even seem like, you know, Bumblebee is his protector in the second movie. So she was talking about how the, you know, Michael Bay, you know, did a good job with the first movie, and then the second movie, the background stuff. I mean, in sequels, you get more, you know, background on the characters or anything. She's like, I don't feel I got any of that stuff with this. You know, it's just like everything is thrown out at you, and you're just supposed to accept it. There's no character development, and you're looking at the, you know, I mean, there was more character development in the first one where you got the boy in his first car and, you know, that relationship. And then all of a sudden in the second one, that disappears. And it's, you know, I mean, granted, he would always scream, Bumblebee, you know, always scream for his help, but it just didn't seem very good. But Bumblebee really has taken center stage, almost even oddly enough, more so than Optimus Prime. Optimus Prime is just there.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of a merchandising, like you were saying, in terms of a merchandising and promotional value, it's always about Bumblebee. But I wonder how much that has to do with actually GM's influence and trying to sell the new Camaro.
The other thing is, Steve, you got to weigh in on this as well, but the other thing is Bumblebee pretty much is supposed to be the character for kids. That's why the merchandising is all Bumblebee stuff, because supposedly Bumblebee is supposed to be the kid character for every kid to
spit it out.
To compare with. To be, you know, to be close with or whatever the hell it is. I don't know. What do you think, Steve?
I think that pretty much that's just the younger character is basically how they're portraying him. Sort of this, battle-hardened, you know, spy. They have him pretty much since G1. He's just been one of those characters that they just have associated with the humans. And I think that it holds true for the, you know, it continues to go on through each series. He just happens to be that one that all the kids cling to.
That is very true. Poor Bumblebee.
I just hope to God they do not bring in Hot Rod into the movieverse, because then I will really go on a rampage. Me and Proto Man will kill Michael Bay.
I heard something about that for the third film. And
yeah, let's not go there.
They brought RC, and I heard Ultra Magnus may make an appearance.
He might. You never know.
Yeah.
Then I like pushing Mike's buttons to get him steamed, so that's...
Yeah. I'll just pile on the podcast work for your ass, that's all.
You know what I'll do to it? Deleted.
No, there's no fucking deleted.
You're going to force me to sit there and talk to Pixel Dan? Oh, no. Whatever am I going to do? Click.
Knock it off. Do we have any other Transformers stuff we want to bring up?
I like to work for Cybertron Megatron.
I want to get some Beast Wars figures and Beast Machines figures that are insanely expensive that I can't afford ever.
Where are you looking?
Everywhere.
Really?
Yes.
Check out the Big Bad Toy Store vintage department.
No.
Why not?
They're pricey. I'm trying to figure out. This is my current project. As you can recall, I and ToyCast 49.5 or whatever it was, I made my own Batman Beyond Return of the Joker Joker figure.
Ooh.
Yes. I used a Nightwing figure and a wild card Justice League Unlimited Joker. And he came from the 3-pack. I'd used the head from that one and then the body of Nightscream and then painted it all and sanded down the hair and all that. It was quite a chore. It didn't come out 100% perfect, but it came out damn enough that it's along my collection now. But my current project is I want to make a accurate Beast Machines Megatron in the cloak.
Oh, God. Yeah, you'll never be able to do that.
Well, this is the thing. I may end up getting another Transmetal 2 Dragon to experiment with, like a cheaper one, even if it's a knockoff. But I do have the head Megatron.
Yeah.
That transforms into a robot, as well as the actual Beast Machines cloaked figure, which if I've thought about this, if I pop the head off of the other one, off of the ship one, there's a magnetic piece on the top of his head, so it's actually the Beast Wars head for Megatron, and then there's a magnetic piece which attaches that helmet that goes over him when he goes into the cloak.
Right.
So I was thinking even if I replaced part of that and made like the other one, the smaller one, into it, and figured out some way of coupling arms to it and extending the bottom to cover the dragon feet, that somehow I could basically recreate the mega figure into the more accurate Beast Machines version.
Yeah, that would be nice, but
that would be cool. You got a lot of work ahead of you, though.
Yeah.
Yes, I unfortunately, I don't know what the hell I'm doing, so I'm going to have to do a lot of experimenting and looking into other people's physical projects on it.
May the Schwartz be with you!
Get out of my Winnebago.
I want a Winnebago.
I'm so glad that people actually can get that reference.
Of course. Actually, the Schwartz will be making an appearance in M-Wire episode 75.5.
Very nice.
Death
has come to me.
What?
The cat of death has come to me.
Dun, dun, dun.
So let's all pause and wait till Octobotomus screams his head off.
No, I'm hoping. She's kind of sitting here and staring at me. I'm hoping she'll want to... Lay down. Sleep.
Other Transformers stuff. Do we want to bring up anything else?
Nope.
I don't really think so. I mean, there's not much else. Nothing really.
Other than I'm involved in a project, but...
Yeah.
Mike's not overly thrilled with it, but whatever.
No, I'm not, because it doesn't really...
It doesn't
anyway,
justice,
yeah.
But...
We're not going to bring that up on air. He's involved with a voiceover project, which I'm happy that he's doing it, but I don't really support the project.
Oh. Is it porn?
No.
Oh. Are you voicing
Michael Dodds? Only if Michael Dodds involved.
Oh, God. Yeah, Paul won't get that reference.
It's still creepy, though.
No, it's not. It's not porn. We'll tell you off air. Steve, why don't you close the show?
And for now, I am Alpha and Omega, closing out the show. Excellent. Yes.
You are listening to All Things Transformers. Maximals, maximize!
This is Megatron, leader of the Predacons. I am calling you to tell you, you need to listen to the Beast Unleashed podcast. Yes. This is the only and first Beast Wars review show. We cover Beast Wars, Beast Machines, as well as various other factors. Join the hosts, Steve Megatron Phillips, TFG1 Mike, and Pecan Court Michael, every other week for the Beast Unleashed podcast, only on GeekCastRadio.com.
Now back to All Things Transformers.
Yes.
I wish to speak to my lawyer.